Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's going on, guys? Demetri Johnson here, Jersey City. This is my second time on the show. First time live in the studio. Worked with Luke Thomas before, Chuck Mendenhall before, what's the other gentleman's name?
Brian Campbell.
I don't know if I spent a lot of time with Brian Campbell in the past when I was fighting the UFC.
Luke Thomas, he's been around forever. Yeah. Chuck Mendenhall, been around here forever.
Yeah, and Brian's...
He's here.
He's got here.
Demetrius, how are you doing, buddy? Good to see you, man.
What's up, man?
You know Chuck Mendenhall?
Yeah. What's up, man? Good to see you. Been a long time, yeah.
A true veteran of the game here.
I'm
the boxing guy. This chair too has like a loose spring, so you get like your oil checked.
That's one of the good things about these couches in the 70s, man. It's like smiling right here. This is good.
Hello, we're back at it on the couch. Room Service Diaries, Morning Combat. You know me, BC, Brian Campbell, Chuck Mendenhall. But how about this? One of the greatest fighters to ever step foot inside the cage. And I know you don't want to talk about that.
You talk about whatever you want.
Okay? But when you're great.
Coming out hot.
Okay? That's what people talk about. No, Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse himself, back at it with one championship. We got a lot to get into that. But man, for you to show up, we've had a few of these and they've been wild. There's been various substances, but this is like 8 a.m. that we're filming this. So it's dads, it's coffees, it's, you know, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm loving the couch, loving the setup, loving the vibes. So I'm just here to chill out and vibe out.
Now, when I see this couch, I think of my teenage years in somebody's basement, you know, like, you know what I'm saying. I'd like to believe, I was chasing the muff around, but really I was chasing these couch cushions around. Have you had time on stuff like this?
Couch like this? Yeah, my mother-in-law, she kind of likes this old vintage stuff because the cushions kind of like give away, so you kind of fall into it. I mean, you go to, what's it called, Restoration Hardware and get the Cloud. It's like $9,000. I'm like, that thing is the most uncomfortable thing.
Yeah,
like, this
thing right give here, me the old shit.
You say you found this in the back of the alley. Yeah. And
this is well lived in couch, by the way.
I believe that there's stories to tell from this. You know what I mean? Where, you know, definitely. The man in the hat, Chuck Mendenhall, thank you for joining us on here.
Of course. You said Demetrius, I was here.
Hey,
that's all I
know. You know, if Luke Thomas was here, we'd be talking about tattoos, but Luke Thomas isn't here.
We always, each time me and Luke Thomas ever had like interactions, we're always arguing with each other. It's always like,
I think that's the natural default for everybody, you know?
Wait.
We've been sitting here
about
what?
What's the differences here?
I don't know. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since we've been together. But I always feel like we always have like some internal beef with each other. But I don't know.
That's what Luke's always like, BC, why can't you hang out with me more on the road? I'm like, because me not liking you is the basis of the show. It's the foundation. I don't want to cross over.
Now, hanging out with them wouldn't change that.
Yeah, it wouldn't change that at all. DJ, you're going to be back at it Friday, August 26th, Singapore. Big deal, one championship, making that debut on the Amazon Prime. Big U.S. deal, which is putting you guys prime time and eventually going to lead to the U.S. debut for the promotion. But, you know, you've kind of been the face of this brand, whether you've wanted to take that or not since coming over from the UFC. This is a pretty big damn fight in your arc. But what do you think about the overall feeling of like,
we're
kicking this off in the States and I'm in the main event. I mean, that's what it's all about.
First off, being like an anime fan and all that stuff, you said the arc. My career.
Felt that.
So I felt that. That's pretty legit. I like that. It's an arc of my career. It's amazing. You know, like I said, I never wanted to be the face of it, but I just see myself as another athlete under the roster. It's a huge deal. a huge deal for them signing with Amazon, right? Like, because I heard rumors like, hey, we got a U.S. broadcasting deal, right? We had the TNT. I feel like TNT was more focused on AEW, right? Mm-hmm. Like, focused on the wrestling, which is cool. But with Amazon Prime being the next broadcaster, that's a huge deal. And everybody's super excited about it. All my friends are like, dude, it's, you know how dope it is? Like, just to go on and click Amazon Prime and have Prime cool. Video? Like, and who doesn't have Amazon Prime? Like, everyone wants that next day shipping, right? And it's almost like, that's the biggest thing, right? Yeah. Like, everybody, like, when I sit here and I always get analytical, I'm like, okay, so Amazon Prime, who has Prime Video? Everybody who has Amazon Prime who wants the second day or same day shipping. So it's not like, it's like an actual extra icing on the cake, right? Like,
people don't have to chase it.
You don't have to chase it.
They can run into it.
And Amazon's going to do a good job of actually promoting it.
Now, when you started this career, man, did you think at some point you'd be talking about a fight and a streaming service and talking about mail delivery as being a connection to this? Like, isn't that insane? From where you started to now, that's like a hell of a trajectory right there.
I mean, when I first started, my first pro fight was in King the Cage at Everett. Key Arena, I believe it's Key Arena. I'm not sure if it's Key Arena. No, it's Comcast Event Center.
Well, at least you're in an event center. You could be in a tent on a parking lot for most MMA.
That is true.
Yeah.
Some guys have been. Yeah.
I mean, that was my pro debut. I mean, my very first one. I mean, I fought in Alaska. I fought not everywhere, but in Washington, I kind of fought where you need to fight. Yeah. Should we say right? But now, fast forward. I mean, we're just talking about my fight against Dom. That was 11 years ago to this day. Man. And Dom just fought.
Time flies. That is so crazy. It's been 11 years.
You know, and then who just retired? Rory McDonald just retired. Yeah. Uriah Hall just retired.
This is your class. This is your era.
Cowboy Cerrone just retired. Like all those guys, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, this is my era. So,
Betch Gohea, put some respect on her Betch name. Betch
Gohea. Jessica I.
So, it's you know, now being on Amazon Prime, still going after a world title.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't complain. I've been blessed.
Yeah, Friday, August 26th, 10 p.m. Eastern, the main card. Adriano Moraes, rematch for the flyweight championship. And you came out following the trade. You arrive at one. You look to be the prime DJ of ever. But this was we've never seen you stopped. And, I think for a lot of us that with the change in the rule sets, it's like, oh, he got me when he was down.
That's what occurred to me. I was like, oh, he's not used to that. His muscle memory doesn't.
That's not fair. Yeah. Okay.
Man, I tell you what, after that fight, I had to come home and explain to so many damn people what the hell happened.
They were like, that was illegal, wasn't it?
They're like, why is that man disqualified? Yeah. I'm like, guys, you know, I'm a chill pilgrim. I'm like, guys, like over there, you can get me in the fucking face on the ground. Yeah. Like,
and he's a big ass flyweight too with the weight rules and the rehydration.
See, the funny thing is that I weigh bigger than all the guys I fought. This is the thing people misconstrued, right? I don't know how big they are like 8 weeks out from the fight.
Yeah.
12 weeks out, right? Like, I saw an email to myself back in 2012, me weighing 141 pounds. This is back in 2012, I was still fighting 125. I think I just came out the loss against Dominic Cruz. So I remember when I was fighting Dom, I came home weighing 138 pounds during training camp. So I'm the exact same size as I was back in 2012. Wow. I just carry it differently, right? So
you carry it now in the abs and in the
My abs are fucking look at those abs.
Yeah,
look at
that.
So
we're not used to that.
So now when I go out and I compete, you know, they weigh you after the fight. And, you know, from what I've heard is that I've been bigger than all my opponents after the fight. Yeah. So but he is taller. I mean, he's 5'10", 5'11". So there is a range advantage he has. And even in my previous fights, I've always had a hard time with taller guys. You look at Dominic Cruz. Yeah. You look at Tim Elliott. You look at Miguel Torres. He isn't the first tall guy I've fought.
True,
But when I came back home, I don't know how many times I had to explain to everybody, like, dude, it's legal there. I got blasted in the face. I'm good. So,
I mean, did that ending surprise you in terms of, was possible?
I mean, I know it was possible because it was a rule set. Did I ever think it would happen to me? In the back of my mind, I knew that day would come, you know? It's almost like getting cancer. Like, it's a possibility that can happen to all of us, but you don't want it to
bring the
happen.
Mood down, Demetrius.
I'm being fucking
it's
real.
Inevitable. Hey, sorry, guys.
I'm being straight up real, right? Like, you know, now when I fill out my paperwork, how you ever been knocked out? fuck yeah, I've been knocked out before, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it,
yeah, you never had to check that until
I never
now,
had
right?
to check that to now. But, you know, I've been knocked out before when I've been snowboarding and, you know, pushed off a roof. So it wasn't nothing new.
Jesus.
So, the time we got that eight ball in Cleveland, I mean, we've been there. You know?
I mean, he's blacked out one. So he's knocked up.
But look, it's like, okay, I don't know if this comes off as a backhanded compliment, but I always say, I'll know somebody's a winner by how I watch them lose. Dude, you're a great loser, as weird as that
is
to say.
You can't be going, I mean,
you're a really good loser. No, you didn't complain after the Cejudo rematch. I thought you had huge grounds to complain. You didn't. You
elevation.
Bounced back.
You've always been elevated, though. It's like you've always dealt with everything. I feel like you'd handle losses way back in the day, too. Like, you've handled losses well.
Yeah, I think when you come, like my upbringing in mixed martial arts, training with Matt Hume, I mean, he still beats me up to this day. And, like, I always strive for perfection, right? Like, there's training, like, even in this training camp, those days I'll come in there and I'll have a great sparring session. And I was like, if I fight like that, I'm winning this.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no hands, but there's nothing to change. But, you know, the next days I'll go in there and I just have a horrible sparring session, right? And I'm not necessarily losing the sparring session. Right. It's just not perfection. Right. So I think when you had that in the gym and then I lose, like I just started training at a brand new jiu-jitsu place with Professor Yon, and he just tears me a new one. It's like, what in the? I still get humbled. So I think when you get humbled in the gym and then you go out there on the biggest stage and you try to give it, you know, your all and then you lose, it's like.
Let me ask you this, man, because you've had rematches before. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're a student of the game. Like, you're able to kind of see from the first time, right? And kind of do it again. This was a little different.
Yeah.
This one's a little different. But how does this one compare to some of your other rematches?
It's different because, you know, obviously I lost this one, right? But it's just the approach. Like, the approach has got to be different, you know? Like, you watch film on somebody, you're like, okay, that's what he does. Then you get in there and be like, okay, wow, that's what he really does. And then you watch him again live, and it's like, fuck, that is what he does. So it's like...
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Like, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like knowing that, it's like, how do you approach it, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you go in there, you approach it. I've done everything right, right? Diet's right. We're doing media's right. Training's right. So now you say go out there and give it hell and see if it works.
I've always been amazed at your ability to transition from like to be at this level, you've got to be hyper competitive and you've got to be perfectionist, as you mentioned, and you got to be, but then to just be able to say, okay, I lost, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to take this L, absorb it and come back without that ego and arrogance of being like, man, that motherfucker. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I think
like you're human at the end of the day too. You're not a robot. Like
yeah. That. I think in America's culture and with the UFC, with trying to be a big persona, right? And I think what personality and persona drives an ego. Mm-hmm. And I think there's too many people in this sport who had egos, right? It's like, we're all athletes, we're all human. Let's just go out there and put on a great show. Yeah. Give it your best, right? Like, don't get me wrong. I'm super hyper-competitive. Like, I plan on going out there and blowing the bricks off. I'm like, I'm going to get in this face. I'm going to use my footwork. I'm going to use my angles, use my wrestling, jiu-jitsu, my Muay Thai, and I'm going to give everything I got. And if I come out as a victor, boom, GG, we got him, right? If I come out as a loser, God fucking damn it, we lost again. Well, we're
that
going
was gamer
home.
Speech. Yeah, it was like, good game, gamer.
That's gamer speak, right? So I'm going to go home and relax to where everybody's like, oh, I'm the fucking best, man, da 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 da. It's like, there's too many of that. I think sometimes it's a breath of fresh air. It's like, yeah, I lost, you know.
You don't seem like a guy who deludes yourself. Like, there are certain guys in the fight game, right? They get to it. They believe the invincibility that's kind of being put down. You're always reluctant with goat talk and things like that. I don't feel like you're fully cherishing, but maybe it's just you don't want to delude yourself into believing it or any of that stuff. Like, how does your mindset work on that?
Yeah, why aren't you willing to just, you know, walk around with a crown on your head and be like, you're damn right I'm the GOAT, right?
Because it's always subjected to the person's opinion, right? Like, my greatest of all time are going to be different than Chuck's and going to be different than yours, right?
Yeah, mine are going to all involve the women's strawweight division.
Which is, hey,
it's the way I roll.
He's
always plugging that division every time we talk about it.
Hey, which is fine, you know? So I try to keep that, I try to stay away from that talk, right? I'll let you guys, I'll let the community decide that. And I think when that happened is I was doing a video, I was working on a game It was called For Honor, and it was a fighting game. And I was like, man, this game is probably esports ready.
Yeah.
And the creator was like, no, it's not. He goes, I don't get to decide that. The community does, right? So I think it's the community who decides who the greatest of all time is. Like, don't get me wrong, when my time is done and said, and to this day, I was like, I'm one of the greatest flyweights to ever do it. I was like, nobody, like, 11 consecutive title defenses, never missed weight, never had a problem, never missed a USADA check-in. Name another flyweight.
Never really make excuses.
Never make excuses, right? Like,
yeah.
Like when I lost to Rusev, I was like, yeah. I lost. Like, he beat me, and it is what it is. So.
Yeah, but you got screwed on the cards, and you were injured in like two places. I feel like if anybody ever deserved an immediate trilogy in that, out of respect, it should have been you. Right
I mean,
there.
We could have done a trilogy, but I didn't. There was other things for me to explore, right? You think about the time where the state of the flyweight division was in the UFC. Yeah. It just wasn't where it is today,
yeah.
Right? Like, I beat everybody in my era in that time.
That Joseph, twice over.
Joseph, yeah, most times,
John Dotson. At the time, that's the thing, right? Like, I was talking to somebody about it the other day. It's like, you look at basketball.
Yeah.
In Michael Jordan's era, yeah, Scottie Pippen, Gary Payton, all those guys. And if Michael Jordan is, they say, oh, well, if Michael Jordan was playing basketball today, he would be close to LeBron James. It's like, that's the thing. It's called his fucking time,
right?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
There's some subtle goat talk. He's getting.
It's going to come out around the fire in like 8 years when he's cracking a cold.
I'll tell you what, boys. You know, the greatest of all time.
I'll tell you what, John Jones ain't shit.
Sardines,
you
know.
No, that was a beer. I was like, John Jones.
Speaking of drinks, bartender, can I get a coffee refill from somebody? Filthy Phil, thank you. Oh, I wish we had a full spread of, you know, donuts for you, but you wouldn't touch it.
You know what, man?
I had donuts on the plane over here.
Wow. Well, you know what we do have is this. Incredible bag of Brazilian nuts because our producer Matt Ryle, who you know, you wouldn't when you look at him, you wouldn't think testosterone. He found out that these raise your tea.
Really?
So there's Brazilian nuts if you'd like to.
This tea's good.
You know, I'm good.
I think if you eat that whole container, you'll come out looking like 2013 Belfort. All right. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, man. When the flyweight division started in the UFC, I always had this theory that it was basically created because of Joseph Benavidez. Like it was like, all right, let's create this division. He has nowhere to go. He's already lost to Dom twice behind the eight ball. I feel like you were the ultimate interception was you coming in there and running that division because it never, ever went that direction.
Yeah.
Did it feel that way to you? Because I felt like it was set up one way and people weren't talking about you at that moment. Like I remember Joseph Benavidez.
Yeah,
Uncle Creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
And who was it? It was the Japanese guy, right? Or
Yuichi Tani.
Yes. That was the original. Wow, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I never felt that way.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I'm a big fan of Joseph Benavidez. I mean, we've spent a lot of time with each other. Saw Coldplay together in Toronto.
Oh, wow. It's
one of my cherished memory. So I think, look at me, like, coffee! Where's my coffee?
I'm getting a refill.
Can you put in a little Irish and Chuck's coffee, please? Thank you.
So I never felt that, but I can understand where you can get that, that viewpoint.
I think it's just that he was kind of the talking point at that moment. But
100%. And especially being from Team Alpha Male, great athlete. So it's like
he married up. Let's just be honest.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I can see that. But you know, for me, I just went in there and did my thing and became the world champion at that time in 2012 in Toronto. And I was grateful for the opportunity and it's given me the life that, you know, I couldn't imagine having.
Yeah.
And I was successful. I was a very successful champion.
Yeah. Okay. How much, cause while during your run and you're getting title defense after title defense, whenever there was something bad to potentially say about you, I felt like you responded in the cage. It was like, oh, he's too boring. He goes to decisions. All right, here's a first round knockout. You know what I mean? Or he doesn't do this. Oh, here's a ridiculous highlight reel submission. Were you like picking up on those wavelengths and going, okay, I'll show you guys, or was that just the natural progression?
I think it was a natural progression because I remember when I had my first finish in the UFC, it was 2013, after I came back from shoulder surgery. I fought John Dotson, signed a contract to fight. This is another thing a champion doesn't do nowadays, right? Yeah. Fought John Dotson in Chicago and signed a contract to fight John Moraga, was training, and I remember I was doing strength and conditioning, and I couldn't do something. Matt was like, what's wrong with your shoulder? I was like, I don't know, it fucking hurts. And I was like, but I'm not pulling out this fight. He goes, you need to get an MRI. Got an MRI, tore my labrum, got surgery, fought in July against John Moraga. I remember submitting him in front of Key Arena, in front of hometown crowd. Yeah. Then after I submitted him, turned around, knocked out Joseph Benavidez.
Yeah, because the first fight, they were like, I'm not really sure if Joe won that. Well, he didn't win the rematch, I'll tell you that.
Exactly, but like, imagine that work schedule for a champion getting surgery, fighting three times in a year. It's like, you're not going to see that nowadays. Like,
you
might.
You will not, man.
You might see that, but now it's like, We got to make sure the buildup's good. We got to make sure pay-per-view point's good. We got to make sure we sell out. So it's just different.
How much do you pay attention now to the flyweight division in UFC? You watch a lot of those guys? I pay attention to it,
but I pay attention more to the 135-pound division because I weigh in. Because I weigh in at 135. Yeah. Like, even though I fight at the flyweight division or the championship, I'm not weighing 125. Like, it ain't. I'm sure I can do it, but I don't want to do it. Like,
what's crazy about that is 135 worldwide is insane right now. I can name a bunch of guys at Bellator who are world class. I can name a bunch in every organization across the board right now.
Yeah,
so UFC is ridiculous.
I mean, what do you think when you? I mean, there's people that are saying right now 135 is the deepest any division has been in the history of the sport.
I mean, when you said like in the world, like when you said like, I thought about Kyoji Horiguchi. I thought about the gentleman who just beat him. I don't know his name.
Was it Patchy Mix?
Patchy Mix. That's a funny name because it reminds me of like, when I think of Patchy Mix, I think of fucking Trail Mix. So, Patchy Mix.
Oh, you got, start that Trail Mix will fuck you up, all right? I'll tell you that.
I mean, you got me, like I said, I consider us 135ers, right? This is my personal opinion. They're like, oh, you're flyweight. My opinion. You got me, Adriano. You got Ajman. You got TJ. You got Sugar Sean O'Malley. You got Peter Yan. I mean, the list just goes on, right?
That's ridiculous,
I mean,
man.
Because the guys who fight at 125 in one championship, they're truly smaller. Like, I've been next to Jared Brooks. He fought in the UFC.
Yeah.
But when I got next to him, I was like, wow, there is, you know, we're the same height, but I can just tell, like, my thighs are way bigger than his. I would probably say 135 right now is probably the
stack. Dude, you've been training with Henry Cejudo, though.
What's up with this?
Henry, my man. Henry.
Why did you and the King of Cringe get hooked up as buddies now?
So, once again, no ego, right? I reached out to Will Harris. And I say, yo, man, I was like, I got a house here in Arizona. I was like, you mind if I get Henry Cejudo's number? He goes, yeah. Called Henry. He goes, yo, Demetrius, man. He goes, I was kind of, skeptical you called me, bro.
I can hear him.
I didn't think you were calling me.
You must be thinking about a trilogy.
No. He goes, what's up, Demetrius? You got a place out here? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, you know, I just want to know if you want to, you cool with me just coming to mix it up and vibing out? And just get training. He goes, absolutely, man. I will love, I got some things I want to go over with you. So which come to the house? Like,
well, beyond having the history with him, have you been watching where fighters are starting to pick him out? And, you know, whether it was Zhang Weili, whether it was Figueiredo, they're starting to seek him out and adding his, you know, but also the captain, Eric Albarra, scene. Let's put respect on his name.
I ain't worried about captain.
I mean, he's flashy. It's hard to look at him.
Flamboyant fellow right there.
Yeah. You know, I see that, but for me, whether those guys would have seeked him out, I mean, I've always respected Henry Cejudo even as we fought each other both times. And he's done something in his sport, mixed martial arts I've never done, and also wrestling. I mean, two divisional champion, he defended both belts. Yeah. I mean, he's achieved a lot in mixed martial arts. So it was a no-brainer for me. Like, hey, dude, like, let's work out together, right? Because even when we trained together, like, we did one full week, and then he went on vacation, but we trained a lot. And he goes, I understand why you were successful, and now I understand why he's successful. So it was good.
I imagine that Rocky and Apollo thing, right? Yes. They're training together, but then they're...
Yes. it was kind of like that, but, like, we're just so, like, he's so chill and, like, just going over things. And I'm like, because I think the best friendship or training partners is where you have disagreements, right? Yep. Because if I go there and be like, oh, yeah, you're right, Henry, you're right. And I'm like, Henry, you're going to break your fucking foot. I was like, so I'm going to check that shit. And he goes, maybe you might, maybe you won't. Like, we have our disagreements. And I'm like, dude, do this. He goes, why would you do that? I'm like, why not? Go for the finish. Like, go to your back and slap on the triangle. He goes, nah, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, that's your
So best. He's just as cringy when the cameras are off.
No.
Women love this man, okay? He's a ladies' man. I know.
I've seen him out.
Yeah. But it was a great time. Like, I have.
I mean, if we see them in half shirts running on the beach, then we'll know a real, you know,
splashing
and Rocky moment happened right there. Okay, you don't get nostalgic. You're not worrying about this goat shit. We'll save that till you're retired. But do you look back at your UFC run, like, completely happy with how it all went? You spoke your mind, and I always respected that about you.
Yeah.
But you don't seem like somebody who's holding grudges for any public disputes you've had.
There's no point to. I mean, the only thing, if I could change anything about my UFC career, is just make more money in the pay-per-view buys. Like, throw me on a Conor card. Because I've always delivered, right? Like, the Ray Borg,
I mean, even Davy Bogatinov fight, even when I fought him, they didn't go to a finish, but I beat the bricks off him. John Dotson, the second one, you know, beat him up. So I just wish I had the opportunity to be on one of those, you know, $2.1 million pay-per-view guys and have pay-per-view points.
Yeah, but I didn't like that narrative of like, well, he's not a pay-per-view fighter and he's killed this division and it almost closed and maybe Crin Cejudo saved it by coming in with the cape on. I didn't believe that.
Oh,
that might have been coming from the top, not even from the... I feel like that was fed to the media somehow.
Yeah, I mean, anybody... Yeah. Like I said, man, like, I don't hold any grudges. I hold no resentment. I hold no wish I would have, could have, anything like that, right? Like,
man, you're solid as shit.
Yeah.
You're being honest.
I mean, you kind of did the opposite thing. I mean, back in the day, there were a lot of guys who started in Japan. Like, you know what I mean?
I did the opposite.
Yeah, you did the opposite, which is kind of cool. It's against the grain.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Shogun, Rampage, Vanderlei, Krokop. They all started in Japan. And I think, you know, with Krokop doing K-1, all those guys have an opportunity to fight over there. And it was just a Wild Wild West over there, right? Yeah. Like, it wasn't what the UFC was back in the day. Or Strikeforce. Now doing, you know, the opposite, going to Asia now. I'm loving it. You know, I get to see Singapore, Japan, got to fight in Japan, and, you know, I can't complain.
How is it, like?
Yeah, how's Singapore? Yeah. What's this like?
Seems interesting over there.
Singapore is different. it's beautiful. I'll tell you that right now. It's beautiful. It's clean. It's very strict. I like that. I mean, they took homeboy's license away. Not mine. One guy got in an accident because he was drinking and driving. They're like, all right, you're not driving anymore.
No, but you're getting caned, bitch. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what happens.
You're an adult. You're 35 years old. You had a DUI. You're done. So I kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're a little strict on too many things. Yeah. Like, you can't eat poppy seed muffins over there. And it's like, come on, guys.
What?
Come on.
Like, why not?
Because of the opioids. Like, wow, it's the opiums or whatever it is. So,
crazy.
Or like CBD. So, you know, there's, you know, countries have their things, but it is what it is. But it's a beautiful country. Like, the Lion City is absolutely beautiful.
You'd fought in, like, you fought in Australia when they were doing the flyweight tour, but, like, you really hadn't been, you went to Alaska at the time. You hadn't really been traveling, but now you're doing these, I feel like you're constantly on that.
Yeah, Japan, Manila, Singapore. I love Japan. Japan's my favorite spot in Asia.
Yeah.
Just because I like going there. I love hearing the language. I love the anime. I love the districts. I love...
Oh, yeah, that's true, man.
I just love
it. What do you do? Like, see, my thing is, I'm always like, those flights seem very, like, oh, yeah, I would be dreading those flights, man.
I just chill. My little 5'3". Last.
Yeah, maybe well, he doesn't know the true struggle on that regard.
Yeah, I was going to say. We're also coach class, Demetrius. That might be a little different.
My buddy, he fights in Singapore, James Yang, one flyweight. He's featherweight. Hey, dog, they're like, oh, sorry, we can't put you in first class. I was like, it's all good. I'm going there. We sit back there. We're just like, I can't fucking believe I'm doing this because I love you. But, you know. So I made the trip, and you know, when I fought in Australia, shit, that was back in the bus.
Yeah.
Remember coming home and I fought Ian McCall, stitches, black eyes.
Yeah,
I was like, this is great.
All right, take me back to this transition from dominant historic UFC champion. You're on the GOAT list, basically. You're in the upper room conversation, and then it's like breaking news: you've been traded to one champion. We're like, we didn't even, as media members, like, we didn't even know that was possible. What's that timeline like for you? Because, like, were you gonna re-sign? Like, where were you at mentally?
So I believe I had. So I just lost my fight against Crin Cejudo, and I remember Malky came to me. He goes, "You tell me what do you want to do, bro?" And I was okay. And I made him come back home, and I talked, and I said, okay, let's sit down and look at the landscape. I was like, okay, I could go back and fight. And Crin Cejudo, that fight was the only fight on my contract that I had pay-per-view points, right? So, and then how the contracts worked in the UFC, my contract was basically, you know, you guys know, it's flat rate, goes up, escalates, and it stops at one point. So for me, I was like, okay, I could go back and fight Crin Cejudo again. Two things can happen. One, I could beat him. Then I'm right back where I'm stuck where I was, right? Or two, I lose to Crin Cejudo, and I'm stuck where I'm at now. I just lost to him, right? Or I can see if I get out of my contract, because they're talking about getting rid of the flyweight division anyways, and maybe I can go test free agency, whatever, right?
So let me just pause you there. Was rematching Dom Cruz, who I think was the champion for that for a moment in there when he beat TJ, during that kind of time, was that ever a thought for you? Because people thought if the flyweight division goes away, we'll see DJ Dom part two.
No, that was never on a table or an option. Okay. Because, it was just like, that was never an option.
Okay.
Like, when you mentioned that, I was like,
Because the fan in me was like, I was like, that's the only option.
Yeah, I kind of want to see that run back at some point.
I forgot TJ and Dom were fighting at that time. You know what I mean? So then that's when it came about that they're like, hey, we'll, one championship, like, hey, we'll trade you Ben Askren, who was retired and on ice. Because when you retire, your contract gets freeze, right? You can't just go out and do whatever you want. And they're like, hey, we'll trade Ben Askren for Demetrius Johnson. And then USA is like, yeah, sure, sounds whatever.
Did that surprise you? That it got to that point?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I was happy. I was like, dope. I was like, because it gave me an opportunity to go do something else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I went to one championship, my goal was to be able to do something different. And then I just had to super fight with Rod Tang, which I never thought would happen, right?
That was awesome.
If I want the option to do kickboxing, I can do that. Imagine, I was like, oh, Demetrius Johnson, he's going to do kickboxing. You know, people fucking tune into that, like whether I get knocked out or if I'm going to go out the fight. So for me, I had
That first round was a pretty high theater there because you're like, how's he going to pull
there? Dude, the crowd was nuts. The crowd loved it. And that was probably I hear more praises from that fight than
the Rod Tang fight.
The Rod Tang fight.
Which was mixed rules.
That mixed rule fight was bigger than any of my one championship fight.
If anyone's watching their MMA fan, but they have no idea who Rod Tang is, how do you describe how he's received?
He's huge
overseas?
Out there, right?
Like destroyer.
Yeah.
He just goes out and he blows the bricks off people.
Is he like part Elvis Presley, part like, you know, Genghis Khan, basically?
I guess. I mean, when I watch him for me, I watch him and I look at his side. I'm like, hey, he's taking way too many shots, way too many concussions.
Oh, he welcomes it. He welcomes it, right?
And I'm like, dude, I'm worried about your CTE. Because I've gone through it. I see people go through that.
Yeah.
But then as an athlete, I'm like, okay, that is unbelievable. And two, the first round is going to be hell, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, second round, you can take all those shots. I'm like, but I'm going to choke you out. I was like, your brain needs oxygen. Man. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can be the toughest motherfucker in the world. You get that brain cut off, you're going.
Nobody told him he could tap, though. Apparently.
No, I don't think
Well, he said. So the one thing I love about one championship is that it's almost like we're one big giant college sorority or frat house, right? Because that's when the fights rooted back, we're all talking. Right? I asked him, I was like...
Yeah, but not as elitist as a typical frat. Those people that need others to lift them up and walk this earth. They can't just stand alone. Like, Luke Thomas had to be in a frat. Like, what an old bitch, you know?
Yeah, but we're in the back, and I'm like, I'm talking to myself. I was like, Officer's Lingers, but I was like, hey, I need somebody to translate. Somebody get translator. I was like, ask Rod Tang how hard did I hit him? Because, you know, he did a shot. And he goes, oh, so, you know, it's all the same. But we're all in the back just chilling. We're all talking. You got Adrian over there talking to Angel, Stamp Fairtex. And Stamp was like, I wanted to win so bad. And Adrian was like, it's okay. He goes, this time you have to learn. Like, you didn't learn. You didn't win. You know, it is what it is.
And like Utopia over there.
Yeah, it's like we're just all chilling. Like, we all know, like... For me, I want to see everybody eat. I want to see everybody eat. I want to see everybody make a lot of money. I want to see everybody retire from the sport, happy, you know, drive a Bentley's, whatever it may be, whatever your sin is, right? Whether you eat at my table or you're eating with my table, right? I never want to see anybody, you know, walk from the sport, be angry or pissed off at it, right? So over there, you can feel that.
Has anybody brought you, like, a big bag of cash after a fight like they used to do in the Pride days?
Like the Nelk boys used to get, you know?
No, they haven't.
You used to hear those Pride stories about, like, the bags of cash.
Yeah, no, those stories are true. You know, I've heard some stories, and, I remember there was a story where, you know, Matt, when he'd go over there, he would work, and he goes, I get all this cash. And he goes, you get some. I'm getting that back.
That cash still needs to be laundered.
Is that right?
So I don't want to leave the Rod Tang conversation because it was sort of like, what kind of Marvel action movie is this fight going to look like?
It actually, but it was way more entertaining than I thought it would be in prospect. I was like, this won't work. But as you watch it, no, this totally works. Because you're like, if he gets through the first, now, you know.
So was there ever a moment where you were like, oh, shit, he's as dangerous as advertised. Like, yeah, this is good. This is kind of.
I think my favorite part about it is like, you know, the training camp for it was pretty fun because we worked a lot of Muay Thai clinch, a lot of stand-up, and grappling as well. And then, you know, being in there, coming out to, you know, it was 1X, live crowd finally. It was pretty dope. And then, you know, Rod Tang comes out, he's all doing his dance. I was like, this motherfucker can dance. He's taking his time. He gets in the cage. I was like, would you hurry the fuck up? I'm trying to get this fight so I go home, man. And then, you know... You ready? Fight. And to see him not care not one bit of just crossing that distance.
So for people that don't know, the first round was
Muay Thai. First round's Muay Thai. Second round's MMA. Third round's Muay Thai.
So you're in your head, you're like, don't take him down. Don't take him down. Don't take him down.
Well, I just like, oh, and prior to the fight, it was like.
There's a couple times I thought you were about to.
Yeah, right? I was like, bleh. But prior to the fight, you know, in my mindset, it was like, okay, if he can't get me out, if I can't get him down, and then in the third round, if I can't, he can't get him out. In the fourth round, he came out, it would just be a draw, right? Or it would just go to decision, right? And then they came back. I didn't think of a draw. It was like, it would just go to decision. I don't know how they're going to score it. They came back, and I was like, somebody needs to finish somebody.
Yeah.
Like, they're if nobody wins, it's a draw. And I was like, okay, I'm going to finish him. So, going to the fight, I remember him coming across the cage, just walking across it, just like, and I was like, he don't give two fucks. And he goes, pop, pop, pop. And I was like, and I grabbed him, and then I clenched him, natural reaction. And then the ref was like, stop, stop, stop. And I was like, and I threw two knees. And I was like, what's up? And he goes, you can't clench like that. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Yeah. So if you go back and watch that fight, you see me doing this. I'm like this. I'm back
and watch it. You know what it looks like? It looks like a video game because of the way he comes out. You're like, well, this isn't real. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's so weird the way that fight starts.
Yeah.
Very crazy.
And he came out guns a-blazing, but I like that because now where I'm at in my career in the sport of mixed martial arts, it's about entertainment. It's about what the fans want to see. And so when me and him went out there and fought, and I just said, you know, my coach came back there and he goes, just go out there and fight.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just go out there and fight. And I'm like, enough said. And I went out there and I just started like.
It was very entertaining.
And when I watch him, I think he gets by bullying his opponents, right? Like, I can take a shot. You can't take my shot, right? And he beats him up. So for me, he ate a lot of my shots and I ate a lot of his shots.
You cracked him too.
Yeah, I cracked him and he didn't move. Yeah. He kept on coming. I was like, and I fought guys like that before. Yeah. Like, Ali Bagatinov was the one guy I fought in the UFC where I remember kneeing him in the jaw, feeling his jaw shift, and I was like, I can't knock you out. I'm not gonna keep on trying. I'm gonna injure
you
myself.
Sure
like
a robot.
So I was like,
that's awesome, man.
So, but the second round got him down, and you know, got the rear naked choke. And
all right, true greatness is the ability, like true special greatness in any sport. It's like the ability to be
He's
on
an
the
expert
grandest.
On greatness, by the way,
I'm an expert on this. On the grandest stage, yet do something miraculous and make it look so damn easy. And it could be Michael Jordan hitting the, you know, walk away jump shot against the Jazz. I think of you against Ray Borg, just freestyle in the like just Miles Davis Jazz playing and fuck around and got a flying armbar. Does it feel like time slows down for you? Is that what it feels like when you're at that level and you're just flowing? That like it's like the Matrix, you could see everything coming and you're just like, I mean, because you made it look like you were like miles ahead mentally from the rest of us in that fight.
So I think for me, I don't feel like time was slowing down. I feel like I knew what I was doing, obviously. I think what made me successful as an athlete and professional fighter was so much content that was given to me, right? Because going into that fight, we just learned about how to disturb somebody's weight when they're being a rock, right? And Matt was saying, like, you have to disturb their base or get them to disturb their base. So if I was to lift Ray Borg up like this, I did that, like this, when he's standing there, right? Yeah. I couldn't do it. It would be a lot harder. But once he went like this and elbowed me, I was like, you disturbed your weight. I can move you now. He did that. I was like, oh, you move. I can throw him, right?
You fucked up, sir.
Exactly, right?
What do you want a poster and what material?
Yeah, so once he did that, I learned that. I felt that from taking class, learning it. It wasn't like we're in a gym and it was like, okay.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're going to do this to him, right? So that's when I realized that's where I became better. And I kind of refound that, I guess you call invigoration. Don't know if that's a word, but I feel like it is.
That sounds like a good word.
It's a combination of probably a few great words.
Yeah. When I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, where it's like I'm getting all this content. I can use it again, right? Because when you're getting ready for fights, it's the same thing over and over. This is what he does. This is how we do this. Whatever, we're back in the day, my title run, I was like, okay, guys, we're going to focus on taking somebody's balance. Yeah. And then when I'm in the fight, I'm like, oh, I can take your balance. I'm taking your balance. Yeah. So that's where my upbringing was.
I feel like, too, you like anime and you like video games. You like these things.
Mm-hmm.
That you can distort your own reality to say, I could do something crazy.
Yeah.
Because those guys who do parkour. They're like, that's impossible until you start seeing people do it.
Yep.
It's kind of strange. I always wonder that with you. I'm like, do you see things and you're like, you know what, man, I could do this in physical life. I could actually pull this off.
I think you just said it right when you say I try to distort my reality in fighting, right?
Yeah.
Like I try to do that. Like I go to the gym and I train and I learn all this stuff and then I try to actually apply it, right? That's where I think I felt me successful. So sometimes I'm able to slow it down. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm like, no!
Sometimes you rhyme slow, sometimes you rhyme quick.
The Horiguchi, 1 second left, that was planned, right?
Oh, no. Matt was yelling at me. He goes, I buy!
That's still epic. I was at that fight.
I forgot I finished him. But yeah, that was another one. Like I said, when I feel like today, if let's say we fast forward, right? And let's say 2012 was 2022. And I'm, 24, 25 years old. And I just won a world title in Toronto.
Right.
What today, how social media is, how the marketing is, and I went on that six-year run.
Sure.
I think, I would be in a different place in my life.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just like you think about it now, because I've never, there are some fights where I go out there and I blow the bricks off people. But, I mean, the Kyojo Horiguchi that fight, the Chris Carriasso fight, like how I was going out there to destroy. I mean, you look at how Izzy Adesanya is doing right now. He's had a couple of fights where everybody's like, oh, I was kind of dead. Yeah. But for me, I'm always pushing. Like, I've never sat back and looked and played it easy. Right. Like, I'm always like, if I can't get you out of there, I'm going to beat the hell out of you for 25 minutes. So I think my pay-per-view number bias hopefully will be different now.
Yeah.
If, things were different. Like, if it was 2012, it was 2022, me, Joseph, in Toronto, fighting for the belt.
That's such a great point. You think about that sometimes, like greatness before like social media and things like that are ready to accept it. It's weird,
That's what I think. Like when you said that, I'm like, I think if it was back then, now is now. Because you think of you look at the champions, I was talking to somebody, he goes, oh, Izzy's last fight was horrible. I was like, I don't think it was. They're like, yeah, man, he was talking all that shit. Well, Chris Pratt was like, he was talking all that shit.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt was like, and then Izzy was like, you're just a fucking dude. And I was like, don't go back on your words.
Yo, Chris Pratt took the knee quick, though, after that. He was like, you're right, I was wrong. And I'm just like, bro, come on.
But that's his opinion, right? He's entitled to his opinion. Like, not every fight you're going to go out there is going to be a world-class dominance, right? And it takes two to tango, right? I understand that. I understand Izzy's style of fighting. Like, are we ever going to see Izzy go out there, cross distance, and go 1-1-2, high nine, clinch, knee, oh, double leg takedown, I'm passing your guard, I'm looking for armbar. We're not.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not his style, right? Yeah. His style, he's a counterpuncher. He thrives when you make a mistake. You look at Paulo Costa. That's just going to be his style till he is ready to change, right? So it is what it is.
You see cats these days kind of, handling media differently, like using the media, but like, do you enjoy media, man? Because I feel like you handle it well because you're very real. I don't feel like you're putting on airs, but it takes people time to kind of come to you then, right?
Yeah.
For to understand who you are that way.
When I can be honest and just keep it and give my honest opinion about things and not worry about what the, I don't think there should be backlash because I'm being honest, right? And everything I say, I'll say behind closed doors, to my wife. I don't mind media, right? Like, I always like to ask, what's your point you're trying to get across, right? And
right.
So, but you look at when you feel like somebody's framing a question to get a certain headline, and whether we subconsciously do that or sometimes subconsciously, it's the game, right? It's the game.
Yeah.
So are you able to sort of pick that out, have grace for it?
To get a sound bite,
I know when they're trying to get a sound bite, and I try to, answer it a little bit, but answer it truthfully, whether the cameras are on or not. Like how we're talking before the cameras came on, I feel like that's how we're talking now. Right.
Yeah, we were wondering if a hooker had died on this couch.
Yeah,
it's a legitimate question.
I still think it's 50-50.
He said, I wonder if a hooker died on the couch. And I said, well, if it was a she or a he, you guys sure to clean up because men can be hookers too.
That's a good point.
You know?
Wow, what a solid man right there. Yeah. Are you the greatest pound-for-pound fighter in the history of this sport?
That's up to you guys to decide.
Yo, but I'm asking you, okay?
I would say, like I said before, when it comes down to it.
Don't give me the canned answer. Give me the real.
I mean, the answer. Like, I tell my judges all the time. They're like, they don't ask me because they don't really care about mixed martial arts. But when they ask me like that, how good were you? I'm like, dude, I was the best to ever do it in my division. Like, I truly believe that. Like,
oh yeah,
I mean,
that's
even,
not even up for dispute. That's not opinion.
Even though I lost or whatever, but the consecutive, like now I sit here. I was sitting here thinking, I was like, man, who has the most world championship wins? Not just in UFC or Pride. Rising, Strikeforce, PFL, just all together, right?
Yeah. And Bulldog fights.
Oh, Bulldog fights. And someone goes, it was Fedor. I was like, was it Fedor? I was like, I remember Fedor fighting. He was a champion, but I don't remember all his fights being title fights, like him being a champion, right? So I was like, I wonder what those statistics are. Right now it's Jon Jones with 14, right? I think I'm at 12. I was like, whoa, I got fucking 13. I won that World Grand Prix. That's a championship, right? I was like, I want to know what. I remember Amanda Nunes just got to the club. She's got 10 now. Like, so for me,
I never really thought it like that.
As one of the best flyweights in the world, I will hands down say, no, I'm one of the best flyweights ever to walk this earth. Like,
do you have if someone said, who's the GOAT, then do you have an answer?
No, I would say, for me, I'm like, dude, it changes all the time. Like I said, I love Jon Jones so much, where it's like, I love people who break that stereotype, right? It's like, Jon Jones, he's at home, he's working out, he's doing his thing. Jon goes, man, DC probably had your ass, I was out doing coke. And I beat you. What you gonna do? And I'm like,
that's so true.
You know, like, I'm like,
yeah. Like, that was actually like one of the best things he could have said.
Yeah,
right
and
there.
I don't care what anybody says. Like, I truly believe, like, Jon Jones, like, when I've been in a room and I trained with Jon Jones. The way he understands distance, the way he's able to mix up things. Like, I truly believe, like, when he would fight people, like, when he pulled guard, I think it was on Rampage Jackson, he just jumped guard just to do it. I'm like, yeah, he's playing. Yeah. I truly believe, like, if Jon Jones wanted to finish people more, he could. But he's like, what's the point? Like, I'm beating you.
Let's say that you made $10 million in your fifth title defense.
Oh, Jesus.
What happens, man? Are you still fighting right now?
On my fifth title defense, I made Tim Lee, and then I went off to do another six. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'll play like, Connor, I tell you what, let's make some whiskey. Like, because, like, yeah, I don't know what I'd be like if I made. I still believe I'll still be humble.
Yeah.
You know, I'll still be chill because.
It's hard to know, though, right?
No.
You guard against I always mention this about George St. Pierre. Guarded against complacency. You have to maintain that level and to keep defending that title. You have to guard against everything, like believing what people are saying about you, all of that stuff. But guarding against complacency, but it makes it more difficult, though, right? If you're getting paid shit tons of money.
Yeah, but the thing is that I'm my circle that I hang out with is still the same circle.
Yeah,
like my friends, they don't even watch fighting. Right, yeah. Like when I was like, hey, who are you fighting? Yuya Wakamatsu. Like, who the fuck is that? I was like, oh, it's a Japanese guy, right? and then they're like, oh, I'm fighting Tatsuya Wada. Like, who's that? And then when I was like, I'm fighting Rotate. You fight him? You fight Rotate?
Are these the same people who are like, hey man, he knocked Joe. He should have been disqualified. Like, what's going on?
No. This is my inner circle. Even when I fought Adrian, I was like, hey, who are you fighting next? I'm fighting Adrian Moraes. It's the first time. I'm fighting for a world title. He goes, who's that? I'm like, oh, he's a badass Brazilian guy. Yeah. One of the longest reigning champions in one championship in the flyweight division. But then when I fought Rotate, everybody knew who he was, right?
Sure.
So my circle is very small, right? Like, none of my friends fight. None of them watch fighting. And it's just easier. Like, when I get done fighting, I go home and I chill. And, like, I'm looking to go play golf. Like, everybody is like, I can't wait to go play golf.
Right? Your ability to remain humble,
but, like, just regular dude, regular dad is the key to your success. And I respect that. So let's go full circle here to close. Friday, August 26th, we're talking about the rematch. Adriano Moraes, who, by the way, looking at his resume, twice he lost the flyweight title and came back and avenged that against the guy who beat him. So battle-tested his shit. You're 36 years old now. I know that as you get older, you're naturally being more efficient anyway and figuring out, you know, ways to work smarter and all that. But, like, how much are you still adding to your game heading into this big rematch? Like, do you feel you're a little bit slower than in your prime, or is that not even a feeling?
I just don't recover as fast.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing I notice is that I don't recover as fast.
There are drugs for that people start to take.
That is true. It's called TRT, HGH, which
Brazilian nuts, if you need
Brazilian nuts, but no, I don't need... I always laugh. I remember, like... I think it was Jones. I don't know who it was. I think it was Jones, but somebody was like, oh man, I like that stuff to keep me rock hard. The gas station. I'm like, dick pills. He goes, you need that. I was like, so for me, I don't need that stuff, right? I know as I get older, I can't, what's it called? I can't push it like I used to, right? So I need more recovery. But as far as adding new content, getting better, 1,000%. Like right now, I have different goals. I jumped back in my gi. I'm working towards my black belt under Professor Yan. And then I want to compete in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, I want to compete in the gi. Wow, like, wow. That's something I want to do. Like, this one thing I will say about the GOAT talk, right? If people are going to put me as the GOAT talk, I want to embody that,
yeah.
Right? Like, when I think of GOAT talk, you can do – it's not about how many times you were successful as a champion. It's about, like, if I throw in a gi, I'm like – come here, motherfucker. I'm going to show you something. Yeah. Let me show what I got.
You're going to get lost down there. Be careful.
Like,
it's like that commercial.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, I thought. Like, I want to put it on, and I want to, like, be legit, right? And if it's like, hey, we're going to do Muay Thai, I want to be sweeping you. I want to be throwing elbows. I want to be throwing knees. Yeah. If we do boxing, I want to be pop, 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 pop. I want to embody that, the greatest of all time. Not just, oh, he had 11 consecutive title defenses, and he did all the stuff. It's like, if I was to throw a gi on, like, I think who's the power best fighter in the world right now?
Kamaru Usman.
If I throw Kamaru Usman and I was like, hey, we're going to do straight Muay Thai, and I'm sweeping him, all of them, I'm like, your Thai game is fucking weak.
Oh, shit.
This is, you need to work on this. That's how Matt is with me. Yeah. Like, Matt's like, if you're going to be the greatest of all time, everything needs to be good. Not just, you can't just win all these title defenses because you're just better than an athlete. You need to be dominant in certain areas. So that's, like, my vision. Like, if I'm going to be the greatest of all time, I need to be Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. I need to win IBJJF. Like, I need to, whether it's a master or whatever, like, that's my goal.
You still working with Matt, though?
Oh, yeah.
He just can't corner you, right? Like,
he can't corner me. Yeah. But we still train. We still fight. And
you guys have always been synonymous. I feel like that rise was his, too, you know, well, like, the whole thing.
And that's the biggest thing, too. It's like, here I am. I'm training with my coach.
Yeah.
And then when I go after the fight, it's basically me.
Right.
And I can't get cornered, right? Yeah. Like, the other day, I was sparring. And he goes, okay, you need to do this and this. And I'm like, fuck, man, imagine if you can corner me. Because he can keep, you know, the horse back in the race.
Yeah.
He can keep me,
of course,
you know.
Yeah, but we look at some of the geniuses who changed the game. Mike Perry changed the game when he brought in Coach LaTorre because he wanted that positive. But, you know,
I love when he was like, shit, I mean, I get to keep most of the money too. Shit, I'm giving 25%, 20%.
He's doing smart. The
math. He goes,
You're still in the thick of it. The Adriano Moraes rematch for the one flyweight title. It's going to kick off the one on Amazon Prime One. That's the name of the card, Friday, August 26th, 10 p.m. Eastern, the main card on Prime. But to close here, what's your role going to be, do you believe, after fighting? Are you just regular local dad and husband, or are you ambassador of the sport? Are you a trainer? What do you look like down the road?
No interest in gym, though, right?
Interest in a gym. It takes a lot of work, a lot of time and commitment away from your family. For me, I want to focus on being a dad, a husband. That's where my heart is, right? I think there's no greater achievement to raise beautiful humans, and my wife taught me that.
You have three kids?
I have three children, So for me, just the way today's society is, how, you know, I've seen it in children, like, where they don't have a good, stable home, dad's at home, mom's not caring, it just doesn't look very well, and I think my children are the next generation, right? And so... But as for an ambassador, I'll always be there to support and help out my teammates. And I feel like the best way I can get back to the sport is by just being real with the next athlete. Yeah. Like, dude, this is a very short time in your career. Save your money. Invest your money. That way you can have something to show for after you're done. And then, you know, one of the greatest things I take is that when we used to do our UFC athletes retreat, and when Dana White got up there, he goes, this is a very short time in your career, right? So I'm 37. If I fight till I'm 39... I plan to die when I'm like 97, you know?
So yeah, I think he'll get there. I haven't
yeah,
there.
I have 50 years.
The over-under is 96 and a half. But,
So it's a very short time. So for, I feel like for me, that's where I feel like I'm going to get back to the to the mixed martial arts community. It's like, save your money, be smart with it, and don't get caught up in the limelight. Just be smart, you know? Like, you see too many guys. Yeah. You see my boy Marshawn Lynch,
You're like, don't eat in a gas station.
Nowadays, Dana, at those resorts, wherever they used to do, like, the retreats, he just holds up bags of money and says, I won, bitches. Yeah, look at this, like, $100
million. For NFTs for everybody. Who wants some more digital coin? Let's go. There it is. Mighty Mouse, this has been great.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Because I know this side of you, and I like bringing it out more, you know? This chill dude dad.
See, if I can talk like this all the time on media, this is how I like to approach media now, because this is who I am.
Yeah.
It's straightforward. Some people might like it, some people, I don't like chocolate cake.
It's a character flaw, but that's fine. But you know, you've got a busy day ahead in New York City. Go on the Ariel show and just don't really answer much. Just be like, I gave my best stuff to Morning Combat.
Go check out those guys.
We're going to check you out Friday, August 26th.
Yes,
go get it, man. Go get that gold, okay?
Thanks, man.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
I appreciate doing it, man.
Yeah.
My first one, too. This is fun.
Watch. Luke's like, hey, Brian, I didn't get my last week's check. He goes, about that. We got a new co-host, you know, honest with you.
I mean, just look at the camera. Tell him, Luke, you can dye your hair. It's okay. It's okay, okay? The different color beard is just not working. DJ, we love it. We'll see you back. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.